Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas and time for another Texas Homegrown Music Show. And today's guest is Sean Pittman. And although Sean was not born in Texas, we claim him, and I'm hoping that he's going to get back here soon. He spent certainly half of his life here. Went to high school, actually, in Dallas, and has had a lot of influences from Texas artists, so you'll hear all about that in the interview. Really enjoyed getting to know this cat. But before we do, I'm going to do a song that I recorded from another Texas friend of mine named Ian Moore. And if you guys don't know who Ian Moore is, then you didn't spend a lot of time listening to Texas music and certainly rock and roll and blues in the 90s, because he was a hot number then and he still is. But this is a song called Satisfied. I kind of did a little different rendition of it, but he approved, and so I'm going to sing it for you right now. And when we come back, we'll be with Sean Pittman.
If I fell at your feet, yeah, would you even
Well, here we are in Texas Homegrown Music, and my guest is Sean Pittman. And Sean, I guess we have a history of knowing about each other, but not really knowing that much about each other. So I'm really excited to have you on the show today. And I did my homework and I did my little Google search and I went and listened to some of your music. I'm blown away at how many records you've released. And I'm sorry, I still call it a record because I grew up in the days of vinyl. But I'm so impressed. And I know we're going to talk about your latest record today, but I want to talk about some of those early ones as well, because you've got one record in particular where you literally played every single instrument on it. And I'm just, I don't know. So I always knew you as a guitar player, but you're way much more than that. And you've got a history. I know we're doing this show from your home right now, which is in Oklahoma, but I'm still going to claim you as a Texas boy because you've lived half your life in Texas. So that counts.
More than half. And as far as music goes, that's where I did my.
And I think most people identify you with Texas, but we'll go ahead and let the Okies have a little bit of you too.
Yeah. Well, I might not be gone forever. I might be, I might come back down to Texas. Who knows?
Well, come on, we'll take you.
They say, where are you from? I just say Texoma.
There you go. Well, I've still got a boat in Texoma, I think.
Really?
It hasn't sunk because I haven't been there in, 6 months. But so Sean, tell me, I know that, I don't want to spend too much time talking about your childhood just because you're so far beyond that. But I do want people to know that you were brought up in a musical household, and that obviously was a big inspiration for you.
Yeah, particularly my grandparents, which I know is kind of corny maybe, but I used to be sort of thought that was embarrassing. But I'm actually, the more that I...
Hey, I'm a grandparent, so don't say that's embarrassing.
Well, like... My grandmother was a boogie-woogie piano player.
Okay.
Well, she just knew how to play that. She wasn't, in clubs and stuff, but she got married. My grandfather's a truck driver, and he liked country blues. So I heard it there when I was real little. And then by the time I got a little bit older, and I heard guys like Muddy Waters and John Lee Hooker, Jimmy Reed, I don't know if I said Lydon Hopkins or not, but... when I heard that kind of stuff, I was like, that reminds me of where I was. I want to follow that. So it kind of reminds me of my home and the way my grandfather talked and stuff. He was a country guy. He was a veteran, truck driver, cool guy, but so much wisdom. He was a model of a man, So anyway, yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. So, they pretty much kind of gave you that inspiration to want to go into music, but you were from a really small little town, right?
Yeah. And born in Tallahena. That was the capital of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma at that time. It moved to Durant now, but so I was born there, but I didn't really ever live there. I just visited it for the first time a few years ago when I moved back. I forgot my train of thought.
It's okay. So you were born into how do you say it?
Tallahena, Oklahoma. Tallahena.
I tell you, Oklahoma's got some funky names.
Yeah, and I'm Choctaw a little bit. I mean, I'm proud of just being whatever it is that I have. I mean, my grandfather was Choctaw, and his parents were Choctaw, and he looked full, and he was half, but. He spoke.
You should be proud of it. The Indian Nation is America. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we really want to get down to it, you're what America is all about.
I don't know. I'm just happy to. That's the cool thing about Oklahoma. That's the one cool thing I think about it. And the football team. We grew up in Norman. Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
It was Cleveland County was the area I grew up in. Noble and Norman. But we lived close to the university, so being a Sooner fan was...
It's just in their blood.
Yeah. But I also am a Cowboy fan. I mean...
There's still some of us.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
I actually like that word.
I noticed that you, when you moved to Texas, because you came to Texas, I guess, in high school?
Yeah, my senior year, which my friends in Oklahoma were like, what are you doing? Your senior year? Why? I was like, dude, I'm out of here. I want to go to Dallas, man. Play guitar like Anson Funderburg.
Here you go. I love Anson's. Good friend, actually.
Yeah, he's a good man.
So you went to Booker T. Washington then, I think I read.
A friend of mine went with me. He was a prodigy sax player, and they really wanted him. And I had my aunt and uncle that lived there, and my grandmother and grandfather that lived in McKinney. My aunt and uncle lived in Dallas, so like Walnut Hill. So I had to go to Hillcrest a little bit, and I had to go to Skyline for night school. And then I went to half a day at the Booker T. Washington. And then I dropped out of the other two schools, and I told him, I don't want to go to those other schools. He's like, you've created a situation that doesn't exist. Somehow they let me in, and I stayed there full time. And I never got along with my guitar teacher, and I feel bad about it to this day. And I dropped out with like 6 weeks to go because I got so far behind in math, and I just was like, I don't care. I want to go play. And you know, looking back on it, I would not recommend that to anyone. And
I definitely have heard this story a lot. Certainly, I know a lot of musicians that dropped out of school and ended up going and playing. And some of them went back and got their GED, and some of them didn't, you know. But
I got my GED. My uncle, he said, I'll bet you your guitar that you can't pass the GED. I'm like, give me a break, man. I'll go pass that. So I did. I'm glad he made me do that.
No doubt. And it's sitting, so you didn't have to give up that guitar until you passed it.
Psychological manipulations is what he did.
It worked.
Yeah.
So you started. I read about how you were night lighting it or over at Schooners.
Oh boy.
I remember hearing about that place. I came back to Dallas in the 80s. So there's a lot of venues that were really big back in the 80s that are no longer around. And of course, you know, the Greenville Bar and Grill area, Greenville Avenue was the hot spot. And there were just so many cool blues clubs. And
I don't recognize them now.
No, not at all. I miss all those places. But I have a feeling that there's going to be some smaller venues coming back. I see a lot of them doing it.
I hope.
Yeah, I think they will. I know this. I know that so many people now would rather pay more money or give more tips, give more kudos to people to see them in a small venue than be packed into a big place. And certainly 2020 has taught us that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Nothing else. But you cut your teeth on that scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
And stayed in Dallas for a while before you moved to Austin.
Right. I stayed there it was 92 to 99.
Okay.
And that was a good time where I just played with Cricket. I played with Lou Hampton and Everyday People. I played with Cold Blue Steel.
Cold Blue Steel, man.
I played with the Bramhall brothers. When one of the brothers went on a hiatus, I became the honorary Bramhall brother for a little while. Who else? I played with so many guys, but I remember Tutu Jones, you know, was kind of one of the first people that sort of said, hey, man, you got a few licks, man. Don't waste your licks. You're wasting your licks. Play it slower, you know. And Hash Brown giving me all these kind of tapes at the time, tapes of guys that I needed to learn. And when you get into blues guitar like that, those guys are pretty irreplaceable because they turn me on to some stuff that's really hard to know about, or obscure things and obscure recordings where you can really learn some cool guitar stuff. I'm a guitar nerd, a blues nerd in a way. But I also am a rock. I kind of consider myself a rocker, but heavily in.
Well, I definitely hear a lot of different different styles in your music, but I know that there are some actual albums that you actually tried to sound like some of the old style, and I can hear it in the tone of the guitar, and having a guitar playing husband has helped me recognize what happens when you're playing things from different pickups, and I noticed that you do that a lot, and I really like it. Well, we're gonna play the title track off your latest record called Make It Right. You want to give me a little background on that?
Well, I go through periods of time where I'm up and down, and I seem to go down a little further than most people do. I don't know why. That just is the way I am. And so I was in one of those little ruts, and I said, gosh, I just hated the way I felt. You know, I didn't like the way my life was going. And I'm sitting here complaining, and I started writing these kind of sort of angry thoughts about, you know, I can't get a job. I can't get a gig. I don't have enough money, this and that. And then I wrote another verse. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, wait a second, I got to the third verse. I'm like, I better make a resolution to this. What am I going to do about this? So the song was Make It Right. And I decided, well, I'm going to take responsibility for my actions in my life. And I'm going to make it right. Because if you're going to complain about where you are, dig yourself out of your hole yourself and work your way out of it. And that's kind of what Make It Right is about. It's, you know, we can only complain so long, but then we just got to do something about it and, you know, go to a positive solution.
Absolutely. Well, it's a cool song. I know that you guys are going to love it. So we're going to play it right now. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sean Pittman on Texas Homegrown Music with yours truly, Maylee Thomas. And we'll be back in just a few minutes to hear some more escapades about Sean. Because I'm going to tell you, I told him before the show started, I feel bad. I feel like we need to do two or three shows to talk about Sean Pittman, all the things that have gotten him to where he is right now. But we'll talk about a few of them for sure. So when we come back with Sean Pittman, but right now we're going to play Make It Right.
Took an honest kind of dude, stuck in a run out.
Well, we're back with Sean Pittman, and this is Texas Homegrown Music. And so, Sean, we talked a little bit about how you got started, and you were in Dallas for a while, and then you ended up moving to Austin. Mm-hmm. And Austin opened up a whole new life for you. I know that you really hooked in really tight with Antones, and I loved what I wrote about how Clifford gave you some advice and told you that, you know, the best thing you could do is make friends. It's all about making friends.
I tried to.
You know, B.B. King told you that to treat people the way you want to be treated, and remember everyone has a boss. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I didn't know what he meant by that at first, and I still kind of think about that. Like, what does that mean? God? Or does it mean everybody has to work for somebody? And, you know, I didn't know. He's kind of cool.
Exactly. And then I tell you, the fact that you got to even have advice given to those iconic people tells me where you are in your life and how much faith they had in you as a musician. But I started reading about people that you hooked up with, and it's crazy. You even had a band with Preston.
I did. Remember? Yeah, he was my roommate.
Well, tell me about that.
Oh, man, he was a cool guy. It was always, you know, back in the day with the T-Birds, because he was from Rhode Island, you know. He'd always tell me the T-Bird stories, and I remember one thing that was kind of funny. He said, he goes, you know, when we watch a band and we don't particularly think they sound good, you know, we'd have to kind of walk past them in the dressing room, and he'd say, hey, you really sounded... And I always thought that was funny.
You really sounded and just leaved it.
Yeah.
Leaved it, left it on. You really sounded.
Yeah. We had a band called Killer Instinct, and it lasted for, you know, a good while, a year or two. I mean, to me, that's a long while. I never was very good at doing the band thing, but with Preston, we had one, and yeah, he taught me a lot, and he gave me a lot of confidence myself, because he was, you know, to have his endorsement sort of meant a lot to me, because he was kind of one of my heroes for sure. So, yeah, we got to live together, and then he moved to St. Louis later on, and we even played some then when I traveled to St. Louis. So he was great mentor musically, just not really just about music, but just about your attitude. The way you play blues is the attack and the attitude, the physicality of it. And he was really privy to that.
So who do you, and I know it's kind of hard because I'm just throwing this at you, but who do you think that you've gleaned some from, really gave you advice that you still today think about?
Pretty much everybody. I mean, even the first guy that I learned my first guitar stuff from, who I met in Cleveland County, Oklahoma, right? And he kind of got me playing a little bit. Then I was like, I want to go to Texas, man. And because I started learning about Elmore James and stuff like that. And everybody that I've learned anything from, I remember. And they go through my head, a lot of the advice, you know, like this guy, for instance, Bernard's his name. He's originally from Tulsa, but he got me started. And, you know, he's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to just be a guitar player? Well, not just, you know what I mean? He's like,
I know.
He's like, you better learn to sing. I said, well, why do I need to do that? Because what happens if a singer doesn't show up? The gig off? I'm like, well, I guess you're right. You know, and sure enough, a few years later, UP Wilson didn't show up at the Bone, and I had to sing, and then I just, you know, it took me a long time. It still is. It's still a work in progress, being able to sing to people and tell them a story and connect with them and look them in the eye and believe in what you're saying and make them believe it. That's taken years, because I was just so shy. I don't know how.
You felt like you were just kind of into it, looking down.
And then when you get up to the singer as the front person, it's a different world. It's so nice. Just, you know, every now and then if I do a side gig, it's like, oh, no, pressure's not on me. but if you're the...
Speaking of a side gig, and a segue to you. So I noticed that you did a little stint with Susan Tedeschi. Tell me about that.
Well,
is it more than just a stint? Because I've heard rumor and I want to know if it's true.
Well, I don't want to like cause any problems with her, you know, and Derek. You know, I haven't talked to them in a long time, but Derek was real nice to me when I met him. But yeah, we So my record came out in 98, and it was on a label from Minneapolis. And so the producer was Ron Levy. He was a guy that was with Rounder and Bullseye, and he was also B.B. King's piano player for 10 years. So he got the label Cannonball, defunct, it's out of business now. But at that time, the Bayfront Blues Festival was really going up in Duluth. And so I just remember doing the gig there, and there was a girl that played before me, and I thought she was great. And then I played my set. And then when I got done with my set, I went down to go sign CDs, and she was still sitting there signing CDs. She had sold like 1,000 that day.
Oh, my God.
And I sold 150. I was like, hey, I'm doing great.
You thought you were doing good, right?
So we're sitting there, and I guess that was kind of a she was going through where she had just Sean Costello was her original guitar player, and they had gone through a rough patch. Anyway, I kind of just was a friend, you know, and then when she'd call, I'd be like, dang, man, she's on Buddy Guy's bus. And I was like, God, she's where I wanted to be. And so I kind of got lured in that way. And next, you know, long story short, you know, we dated. Mm-hmm.
That's like, come on, brag about it.
Well, I wasn't exactly the best boyfriend, so I kind of try not to bring, because that was a rough time in my life, because I think that
I... Tell me you'd like to say to Susan.
Give me credit for In the Garden, dang it.
Okay. I'm sure there's something to that, and...
Give me some credit, like 5% or something. I can't put the title. I don't know. Now, she wrote the song. I had a dream. I woke up next to her. I said, hey, Tommy Shannon was asking me in this dream as we were walking down singing Axis Bold as Love. And I saw this big garden down at the – and then Stevie was playing down there. And Tommy Shannon said, hey, man, do you know that Hendrix tune In the Garden? I'm like, yeah. And I woke up in the middle and said, Susan, hey, I told her about this. There is no song called In the Garden by Hendrix. And then she got up and she wrote these things down. And I was kind of writing my own song, but I didn't realize. Anyway, she went and recorded that with Double Trouble. And I think we were fighting. And she asked me if I wanted to play on it. And I was like, no. It was a bad breakup. It was a terrible breakup. It was probably one of the worst. Like, she probably likes to forget about that chapter in her life, because I drove them crazy on the road. I was a mess. I was a mess.
Okay, now I know why.
I was a mess.
You know what? It's okay. We've all been messes before, but, you know, life goes on, and she's doing great. And and obviously, you know, she's fine.
You may want to edit out the In the Garden bit. I don't know. I don't want to cause anything.
I don't think we have to worry about it. I mean, I wasn't planning on sending it to Susan. It's not like we have this kind of great relationship. I have seen her play several times, but and well, I do dig her, definitely love her voice.
I got to see what it was like on that level, and that's where I wanted to be. And even when we're on the Conan O'Brien show, I'm mad at myself for being so selfish at the time. I could have been a little more patient. But
well, don't be mad at yourself. Just learn from it. Sounds like, you know, the fact that you recognized it is actually a really good thing, Sean.
I just remember being there and going, I want to be here with my thing. This is what I really want to do. And
well, you're still going and blowing. And we're going to play a song called Done Told You So. Why don't you tell me about that?
That one is a buddy of mine from Austin, where he actually owns a winery up in New Braunfels. He was a retired defense attorney, and he had some sayings that he had gathered through all his years of doing cases and stuff. Anyway, one of those was, that'd be a cool tune, Done Told You So. I'm like, yeah. So I wrote it. I kind of wrote it about my brother, really. He was like, he's a doctor. And I look at him, I'm like, dude, if I was you, he always gets the wrong girl. I hope they won't see this. But I was like, dude, man. So it was a kind of a relationship thing where I kind of put myself into a character where it's sort of fictional song, really. But my brother was dating somebody that was married or something. And I was like, dude, don't do that. And so that's sort of the inspiring part about that. I probably just said way too much.
Well, so let me ask you. So you've got a brother that's a doctor. Do you have any other siblings?
Yeah, I have a sister, a younger sister that lives in Edmond, Oklahoma. My brother lives in Broken Arrow as well. That's actually.
And are they fans? Do they come and see you play?
They have before, but they kind of look at me differently. They don't quite understand it. They think, yeah, Sean just does this music stuff. You know, I mean, they think it's cool, but they don't really.
Unless you've got it in your soul and in, you know, people don't really understand it. And especially if they see you struggling and, you know, I can tell you from experience.
I
had a dad that didn't understand it for years. And finally, he came to me, you know, later on in my life. I'd already been playing music. In fact, my dad ended up taking a job after he retired that I was working at.
Whoa.
I told him, I said, Dad, this is what I want to do. And it's just who I am. And I have to do it. I'm not happy unless I'm playing music. And he finally got to the point where he recognized it and said, you know what, honey, life is so short. Do something that you know you were born to do. And obviously this is what it is. And that's the thing. And if you know that, that's the most satisfaction. If other people don't understand it, it's okay. But other musicians do. And I understand it. And I'm glad you're doing it, Sean, because you really do have a gift. Thanks. And I think it's important for us to live our lives with purpose. And I think your purpose is to play music. I can tell you this. I know it is, and you know it is too. So keep it up.
Yeah.
So we're gonna play "Done Told You So," and then we're gonna come back and you're gonna play a song for us right out of your living room, office, whatever you want to call your area. You're gonna do that for us. And I'm excited about that. So we're going to play Done Told You So right now from Sean Pittman. If you're just now listening, you're listening to Texas Homegrown Music, and we'll be right back.
Told you so. So You know I done told you so.
Thank you.
Tijuana Bible by my friend Jim Suler, and an influence to Sean Pittman, actually. He mentioned him as one of the guys that he actually used to go listen to play when he was a young kid just starting out. So I thought I'd play that song for you, Tijuana Bible. Well, we're back with Sean Pittman, and I've learned some really interesting stuff from you today, Sean, and I promise I won't send it to Susan.
Well, thank you.
Happy. But so you're going to do a song for us called I'm Done, and I'm interested in knowing about how you did this song. I think you've got something funny to tell me, don't you?
Yeah, well, it was just one of those songs that, you know, I'd had enough, you know, so I was like, who knows? Who cares? Who knows?
Well, I didn't know if it was about a relationship or
It actually was. A friend of mine, we kind of had an altercation or sort of a disagreement, and I felt like that. I'm done. I'm out. But we've made up since. Now, when I was in, I decided to record it. The last time I went to Europe, I played in Spain, and then we had 3 days off. And we had to play in Copenhagen at the end of the week. So we went to Copenhagen early, and they knew that my friend, that Erkan Ozdemir, he and his son are a well-known rhythm section there. And he's also an agent that's booked a lot of people for many years from Texas. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. We went into the studio, and I just started pulling out the songs that I kind of had. So this one had a background vocal and claps I wanted to put. And they kind of looked at me like, because we were tired. It was the last song we did. I'm like, come on, guys, just go in here. So we stood next to the drummer, and we put our little clap. And it's a call and answer. Who knows? Who cares? Who knows? Who cares? So we had a little bit of fun with their accents, because they speak German, but they speak English, but they speak with a little bit of an accent. So when they said, who cares? They were having trouble with the R, and I was like, who cares? And they go, who cares? Like, no, well, cares. They're like, cares? No, cares. Cares? So whenever I hear that, I have to chuckle. You can't really tell unless you know to look for it, but if you hear them in the background, who cares?
Okay. Well, we're going to play it right now, and I just want to say, I really appreciate you doing this.
Oh, thank you.
I think I just got a hold of you just like a few days ago, and mm-hmm. you said, sure, I'll do it. And I'm so glad you did. And I'm really looking forward to seeing you play again, Sean, and hopefully get you to the Guitar Sanctuary. I'd love to have you come and play for us. I think you'd love it. It's a great listening room. It's one of those places where, you know, it's not a big room, about 250 people, but they're there to listen. And as an artist, that's a great
thing. Yeah, I'd love to. I've always said I'd rather play for fewer people that were into it than 10,000 that weren't. I mean, I get a lot out of that. So I would love to. Yeah. It's been my privilege and honor to be on here and finally get a chance to talk to you, Mae Lee.
Well, you know, one good thing about this is I've gotten to know a lot of players, and I say this to a lot of them. I'm going to call on you sometime, because I've been, please, with do. COVID, I've been sitting, I've been at home writing material, and I want to come up with some really cool stuff, and I'd love to do a CD that's Texas Homegrown Music, Volume 1 of me with some other artists all over Texas. So if you're into that, I'd love to call on you and do it.
I'm ready. Just tell me when.
You know, you don't have a girl singer with you, so no. Come on, let me sing a tune for you.
Hey,
I know Susan didn't do it, so I'll do it.
Well, thank you. That would be my pleasure and honor also. So
that would be great. I would love it. So everybody, Sean Pittman, here he's doing I'm Done right from his home. So here he is. I know you're going to love it, and we'll be right back.
I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out. It ain't worth talking about. You had your chance. You had your chance. You had your chance. Baby, I'm through. Not romance. Thank you. straight by a tree. Ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. I'm out. It ain't worth talking about.
Close the show today from another artist that we're going to have next week named Alice Aguilar, and this is a song called Round Here. You guys be sure to tune into our show next week because Alex is going to be our guest, and we'll talk about all the good music that he's got coming out soon. Thank you guys for listening to the show again today, and I hope that you'll tune in next week when we have Alex Aguilar as our guest. But I just want to say Sean Pittman is a sweetheart of a guy. I know that he's got a lot of music still left to play, and so if you guys have an opportunity to see him, do it. He's definitely worth it. And he'll play from rock and roll to blues to soul. He's got it all in his bandwidth. And I know that I'm going to definitely find a way to get to see him this year, because I think 2021 is going to be the year for live music for sure. We've all been so, you know, starved for live music with all this COVID going on. But I know that it's getting ready to start out again. We'll get all these vaccines out there and everybody will feel safe about getting out again. So hope to see you guys out there in the live music scene. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. Peace out, everybody. And we'll see you next time. And thanks again to Tupps Brewery and Guitar Sanctuary for letting us get the music to you guys through Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas. We'll see you soon.